Thank you all for standing by, and welcome to the full year 2012 financial results of Sunrise Communication Holdings. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you would like to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone keypad. I must advise you all that the conference is being recorded today on Friday the 8th of March of 2013, and I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Yu Schiller. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello and good afternoon. Welcome to our investor call for the 2012 financial results presentation. My name is Uwe Schiller. I'm responsible for corporate finance and in investor relations. It's a pleasure to have our new CEO, Libor, with us today on the call. Also together with Libor and myself, there's Andre Krauser, our CFO, and Tobias Kistner working in our corporate communications department. The call will be a presentation of about 20 to 30 minutes, followed by a Q&A. Without any further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Andre, who talks you through the financial performance of 2012.
Yeah, thanks, Uwe, and good afternoon from my side to everybody. I'd actually like to lead you through the presentation for the main part and then hand over for the final part to Libor at a later stage. I would like to start with a financial highlight that you find in the presentation that we have publicated. On slide number 2. Overall, I think what we can see is that we have a continued solid financial growth despite an increased competitiveness. Our revenues have been growing from 1,983,900,000 to above 2,066.5 million, which is an increase of 4.2% year on year. If we exclude the inorganic growth, which was driven by the acquisition of the business Sunrise Enterprise Solutions GmbH, that would actually be an organic growth of 0.9% over the year. Our mobile postpaid subscriber base was a key driver for that revenue development, and that has actually grown over the course of the year of 76,400, which is an increase of 6.9%. In the fourth quarter alone, we have acquired additional 14,400 postpaid subscribers. For the first time, we are also publicating our subscriber figures on our TV product. By year end, we have gained 38,400 subscribers. With additional 8,300 pending orders waiting for activation, which we see as a quite good growth performance on that newly launched product in February last year. On the back of those top line and subscriber growth, we have seen our EBITDA growing from 607.6 million to 631.1 million, which is a growth of 3.9% year on year. Additionally, also our investments have been growing to 224.9 million. This is mainly driven by an accelerated network rollout and upgrade, which we will talk through in some more detail later on through the presentation. Actually, that rollout is pretty much coming with the highest mobile site expansion rate for the business within the last 5 years, which gives you a little bit of flavor on to what extent we have accelerated our efforts in this direction. Lastly, and also very important, our operational cash flow has been 163 million for the year, despite the higher capex, which has actually increased by 73 million year over year. So far, the financial highlights overview. With that, turning to slide number 3, where I would like to give you a little bit of more detail on the operational performance. Starting off on the left-hand side of the chart with the changing market environment. So as we said at the beginning, we are seeing an increased competitive environment, and that is mainly due to the price change that we have seen in June 2012, where Swisscom did a one-off flat rate pricing with speed tiering. And on the back of that, actually, we have seen two impacts. Firstly, we clearly have seen that we were still able to grow our customers while reducing our prices. But secondly, also that comes with some headaches on our top-line growth, where new customers are adding less value than before, and also our existing customers are migrating onto those new tariffs. Second point, also very important for us, is smartphones have been driving our growth in the past quite a lot. And we are also seeing that smartphones are a key driver for pre to post migrations recently. We also do see that the smartphone penetration driven growth is pretty much reducing, as many customers are already in the possession of a smartphone. On the back of that smartphone penetration, we also do see continued growth of mobile data usage. And of course, I mean, this has two effects which are important to us. On the one hand side, as customers increasingly use our services, of course, the service gets more important to them, and that opens up, from our perspective, pricing differentiation opportunities going forward. But secondly, in the short term, also very important, it puts pressure on our network capabilities. And of course, we need to be able to cope with that increasing demands from a network perspective. Last point, we have launched Sunrise TV last year, and during the course of the year, TV has become a really important part to all of the fixed line offers in Switzerland, notably in the fourth quarter. Cablecom as well as Swisscom have launched additional free TV offerings, which are basic TV offers that come for free on top of access packages. And since then, it's pretty much is very important to offer such TV offers to really play continuously in the fixed line market. And therefore, the quadruple bundling opportunity that we have at hand has really increased in importance. So overall, what we have seen is pretty much a more competitive environment, but nevertheless, still a rational market environment. And particularly after the price reduction in summer, many of you asked the question, well, is this now getting into a price war? And we said, well, we are not expecting things like that. And as a matter of fact, what we have seen is pretty much a one-off effect where Swisscom has lowered the prices. We have actually maintained our value proposition, our best value for money proposition by acting on the pricing side. And also in the fourth quarter, Orange has followed our way. And since then, the market has stabilized on a reduced level, but we don't see any further big movements recently. Now, in reaction to that, of course, we have taken a couple of actions in order to maintain our growth and our profitability. Firstly, as I already mentioned, in reaction to the pricing changes, we have also adapted our price levels very quickly in July last year. As I said, this has, of course, also enabled us to continue our customer growth, which we did in the second half year, as you will see from the numbers. And secondly, also had the negative implications that I said in terms of reduced value for new customers and migration impacts. Secondly, in reaction to the increasing data demands, we have ramped up our network investments in regards to quality, coverage, and speed. We have seen the highest mobile site expansion rate in the last 5 years. We have increased our capacity on the UMTS network. We are also preparing our networks for LTE rollout by actually adapting to multi-standard radio equipment on our sites. And also we have started the FTTH rollout on the back of the utilities that we partner up with in order to provide these type of services. We launched Sunrise TV in the first quarter. We had good growth momentum, as you can see from the subscriber development and the numbers that we publish. And additionally, after we have launched our TV product, it was necessary to also refresh our total fixed line portfolio, which we just recently did in the last weeks. And this new product portfolio actually has now competitive pricings, some speed upgrades on the packages that we are offering, and also enables quadruple play in a sense that we are offering additionally mobile internet propositions as part of the wireline product that we are selling, which we do sense is playing to our strengths and will also differentiate us from some of our competitors. Last, but also very important point is on the back of the price reduction that we were doing, we were, of course, also revisiting our cost structure and have actually done a full review on that. As a result of that, We have seen the restructuring that we announced in the third quarter last year, and we have implemented in the fourth quarter last year with a headcount reduction of 140. That is actually driving a annual cost rate, run rate reduction of 24 million from 2013 onwards. So in summary, I think our reactions to the market changes that we have seen is pretty much we have reacted quickly and have prepared Sunrise in a way that we actually can continue to compete and deliver from a customer growth and also from a financial perspective in this changed environment. With that, if we have a look on a couple of numbers, turning to slide number four, talking you through the mobile subscriber and ARPU development, you see total subscriber figure on a level of 2,141,000 with an increasing postpaid subscriber base of 14,000 for the quarter alone. Over the full year, 76,400, which is a growth of 6% on the postpaid side of you. You do see the continued decline in prepaid, as I said. Many customers who are actually seeking smartphones rather are turning to postpaid offers, and we do see an increase in prepaid to postpaid migrations, which then also drives to a certain degree the decline on the prepaid customer side. As you can see those numbers, we are now at a share of 55% of postpaid subscribers on our customer base. And also on the back of that, in the past, we have been seeing ARPUs increasing. Now, if you turn to the right-hand side of the chart where you can see the ARPU comparison, fourth quarter 12 versus fourth quarter 11, you do see that the ARPU for the mobile product has been declining in total by 3%. And if you look at the originating part, that is reducing by 1.4 Swiss franc. This is clearly driven by the price reduction that we have done in the mid of the year. And that is now actually flowing through in the two effects. On the one hand side, new customers with reduced amount of ARPU and also migrating customers enjoying lower price points. Giving you some little bit more flavor on that particular item, turning to slide number five. You can see that this price reduction has some effects on our top line and also on our EBITDA development. So firstly, as we have seen the first half year growing by 5% in terms of mobile revenue, that has now come to a growth of 0.8% only for the second half year. And also from an EBITDA perspective, while the first half year was still growing with 8.5%, the second half year was pretty stable compared to the prior year. Additionally, and I think that was very important for our price change, is we wanted to stay competitive and maintain our best value proposition, which we effectively did. And that actually helped us to grow our postpaid subscriber base continuously with high-value customers in the second half year. And we have added in the second half year 35,000 customers on the back of that. And of course, this is driving some growth. But nevertheless, what we can see is that the new subscribers compared to before the price cut are actually driving 7% on average less ARPU than before. And also, as customers are migrating onto those new price tariffs, of course, there is also a decline happening in the customer base. We actually have seen in the very beginning an ARPU delta of around 11% for the first cohorts actually migrating onto the new tariffs. That is actually softening over time, and at the end of the year was approaching 8% with a declining trend. By the time we also have seen one third of our Sunrise postpaid subscriber base already been migrated, and we also do see that there is clearly a softening impact of this migration on our ARPU development, as both volume of subscribers migrating but also impact of customers migrating is actually slowing down. In combination with that price reduction, as I said earlier, we also looked on the cost side of our business and have counterbalanced the gross profit decline with quite some cost measures. The most important one was the restructuring that we announced, which will drive a run rate saving of 24 million for 2013. In 2012, we actually had restructuring costs, as we announced earlier, of 15.6 million, and the net effect for the year was negative with 13.2 million, as the reduction is only kicking in over time. Additionally, we not only have reduced our headcount, but also have looked at all of our other cost positions that we have, in particular our marketing spend, but also a variety of other cost measures that we have looked at in order to maintain our profitability. With that, turning to some more detail on our landline internet business. On slide number 6, you see the development of our XDSL subscriber base, which is pretty flat. So you see we are turning out at a level of 367,000 subscribers, and you can see that throughout the quarters and years, this has been pretty stable on that level. What we do see is that we are continuously actually winning double and triple play subscribers in particular, but are losing single play subscribers at the same time, which are driving voice revenues mainly. But we also do see that with the increasing customer base on TV, we should expect this actually to grow throughout the next quarters again. From an ARPU perspective, you do see a reduction of 81.2 in the fourth quarter 11 to 79.5. This is pretty much driven by the product mix that we have and also the bundle discounts that we are giving customers if they use multiple products from us. Those figures are actually excluding our TV offers. If we add the TV revenue at this stage, it would only have a minor impact, as many of the customers that are joining are actually receiving a start discount for a couple of months. And as this discount actually goes down over time, that impact will likely increase over time and will help us to stabilize and even furthermore grow ARPU going forward as well. AMPU, you probably recall that on the AMPU side, we have seen a pretty good development over the past quarters as we were rebalancing to our own ULL infrastructure. Now, for the first time, we see a decline on that one. That is pretty much attributable to the change for the TV customers, which we are moving to the VDSL infrastructure of Swisscom. And as this comes as a wholesale product, the margins that we are generating on that are slightly lower and thus drive this downside from an AMPU perspective. With that, coming to the P&L overview on slide number 7, here you see again 2012 and 2011 and the fourth quarter compared to prior year. I think the additional information I'd probably like to flesh out is the organic versus inorganic position that you find here. So you see a revenue growth of 4.2% overall. Organically excluding the acquisition of Business Sunrise Enterprise Solutions, that would have been 0.9%. What is also important, you see that already the impact on gross profit is less from that acquisition, and ultimately I would estimate that the impact on the EBITDA development coming from that inorganic growth is in the range of 2 to 3 million only, because actually the margin generated in that business is a rather smaller one. So the revenue impact is pretty sustainable, big. But on the other hand side, the EBITDA impact is rather small on the back of the numbers that you see. EBITDA growth, you see the growth of 3.9%, and you see the margin excluding hubbing revenues being 32.6%. So on a pretty stable level. CapEx, I think here, very important, the increase to note between 11 and 12, 73 million higher investments and the CapEx to revenues ratio of 11.6%. Also, EBITDA minus CapEx, 406 million, operating free cash flow of 370, the mobile license payment taking into consideration of 289 million forms a free cash flow after license payment of 81 million year over year. With that, giving you some more detail on our investments that we have been doing, On slide number eight, you see the overall investment of 152 million in 2011 going up to 224 million, 73 million, as said before. That's an increase of 48%. The components of that, you see the vast majority of that spend is actually going into our mobile network, 63 million going to our landline business, and then we have additional IT investments and other investments rounding the total picture. What is the most important part of it is clearly the rollout of UMTS and HSPA into our network. Actually, we are swapping out the entire 3,300 sites and actually swapping in multi-standard radio equipment, which is actually LTE ready. By the end of the year, we had already swaps performed of above 1,100, which is close to one-third of our network that has already been done, and the rest will be done by pretty much mid of the year. For 2013, we actually would like to continue this investment and also accelerate on some of the investments that we are doing. Again, the rollout should be finalized by mid of year, and that is something that will drive quite some CapEx. Additionally, it's not only good enough just to exchange the radio equipment, but we will also invest into backhaul capacity to actually cope with increasing traffic on the mobile sites so that we really prepare our network to cope with the data volumes upcoming and also prepare ourselves for LTE to kick in through the course of the year. We are planning our commercial launch on LTE by mid of the year, and we are also planning to have a rollout to 19 cities by end of the year performed. Additional investments that we will continuously drive is also the CPEs that we do for Sunrise TV and also for new internet customers on our landline portfolio will be capitalized as well. Also we have additional backbone and system investments that will actually drive our CapEx envelope for 2013 to a level of 270 million-280 million. With that, I would like to turn to slide number nine and talk about the cash development and talk about our operational cash flow. Firstly, if we look at the cash balance at the end of 2011, that was pretty high at 585 million, and you remember that we actually prepared the business for the license auction in the first quarter, so we actually were sitting on quite some cash in preparation of that. During the course of the year, we have paid 289 million as a first chunk for the spectrum that we have acquired. Additionally, during the refinancing that we did a deleveraging of 202 million, and we also repaid through the course of the year 87 million of the PIK instrument that was raised before. Additionally, we were able to create an operational cash flow of 163 million, so that the ending cash balance at the end of 2012 was coming to 171 million by end of year. Very briefly on our net debt and leverage ratio on slide number 10. Firstly, I think we mentioned that last time already that we have fully moved to an all bond financing structure with the refinancing that we did mid of the year. You see that Term Loan A and Term Loan B have turned to zero, whereas the senior secured notes and the floating rate notes have been growing in overall value. Our total cash pay borrowings at the end of the year were at the level of 2,322 million. Total debt on a level of 2,499 million. If we do the net debt per EBITDA leverage ratio, that would have come out at a level of 3.8x, which is on a comparable comparison versus prior year would be an improvement from 4x to 3.8x. With that, I'd like to conclude the financial overview, and I'm very happy to present for the first time Libor von Sina, our new CEO, and will hand now over for Libor to talk a little bit about the outlook of 2013.
Thank you, André. A number of things have already been said in positioning Sunrise for 2013. Let me just summarize. The prime objective for 2013 is to leverage our ability to play as a quadruple play challenger in the Swiss market. And we will definitely continue to provide our best value to the customer proposition across all products and services, which will allow us to further improve our growth on the customer numbers. For 2013, this will also be the investment year for us as we are laying fundamentals for continued subscriber growth. And primarily, the biggest, one of the biggest activities in this year is investing in our network. As you can see, our investment will peak at between 270 to 280 million Swiss francs in 2013, and it's primarily focused in upgrading the infrastructure, which Andre already talked about, and we are further accelerating our rollout on UMTS with speeds up to 42 megabit at this stage, but extendable to 84 megabit per second, and launching LTE, primarily to improve the quality, coverage, and speed. On top of this, we are focusing on really further improving our customer care, and adding all the investment in technology, processes, and people. So to summarize the outlook for 2013, I foresee a flat, slightly increasing EBITDA, primarily on the back of the top-line pressure that has been created with the price decreases in 2012. And it will be compensated by the cost measures that we put in place. CapEx spending will peak, as I mentioned before, at a level of between 270 and 280 million Swiss francs. And we expect that after that it will stabilize at around 11% of revenue. And lastly, we will continue with a strong cash flow generation, primarily with cash flow from operating activities, including CapEx, expected to remain in line with our historical levels. With that, to finish the outlook for 2013, and I'll hand it back to Uwe.
Yeah, thanks, Leo. Thanks, Andre, for walking us through the presentation. With this one, I actually would like to hand back the call to the operator to open the question and answer session.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question over the phone, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you would like to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, that was star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Your first question on the line comes from Laura Medalla. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just in terms of your CapEx increase, I was wondering what kind of return you're expecting from this investment, or whether this is more of defensive nature.
No, it's not obviously not of defensive nature. I mean, as you have seen through the numbers, we have been growing our business throughout the last years. And this is pretty much by addition of customers and actually winning market share in the market. And of course, in order to continue that, we actually need to have the proper infrastructure in place. So we are expecting that the return will be a continued growth of the business.
Okay, thanks. And just one further question on the LLU customers, and to confirm that the decrease is mainly coming from a migration back to a wholesale product due to the launch of the TV product, is that right?
So probably mixing two things. So one element is you've seen that the customer number as such on the LLU side was pretty stable. There's a very small decline, and that is actually driven by single play customers actually dropping off. The second thing that you were mentioning is the rebalancing to a wholesale product that is actually in that XDSL customer base. We also have the 38,000 IPTV customers, and those IPTV customers are mainly on the VDSL infrastructure of Swisscom that is actually through the wholesale arrangement that we have, and on those we have a slightly lower margin. So those are the two things to have in mind.
Okay, thank you very much.
Your next question on the line comes from Simon Duff. Please go ahead.
Just a couple of questions. On the fixed line, can you help us better understand this difference in economics between local loop unbundling and wholesale VDSL? So can you give us what the actual current LLU rate is that you pay versus your wholesale VDSL rate? And what kind of revenue uplift? I know you're not getting, you're doing things on discount at the moment, but what kind of revenue uplift do you expect from a video customer versus just what was a plain old broadband customer in the past? And then some data questions were tax. I think you had roughly a sort of 50% drop in tax paid this year. Can you just explain that and what you expect for tax outflows for 2013? And on working capital, you had a big inswing at the end of the year. I think a lot of that was attributed to CapEx. So, you know, when those bills are paid, can we expect that to come back in first quarter 2013? And can you give us an idea of what your working capital outflow or inflow will be for the full year 2013?
Okay, so quite some questions. Let me try whether I can actually recall all of them correctly. So on the first one, in regards to wholesale prices, LLU versus VDSL, actually here the situation is as follows. A VDSL product is not regulated as such, so therefore we can't really talk about the prices because they are actually confidential. So can't really give you a figure on that one.
Mm-hmm.
What was the second part of your question in regards to that? Because I think that was your one part.
Okay. Well, if you can't kind of disclose the difference in the cost base, what's the differential in terms of the revenues that you derive from people shifting from being a broadband customer to a broadband and TV customer? And I know you said that you've got people on discount at the moment, but
yes,
when those discounts peel away, what expectations do you have in terms of ARPU uplift?
Well, it depends pretty much on also what is the TV product that they are choosing, right? So on the one hand side, it's a different access product, so therefore, and also the access product that we will use with our new portfolio actually has prices attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, on top of it, you actually have the according TV offer that you use on top of it. So you can't really just say one single number. At the moment, we do see we are expecting a positive trajectory as we see quite some higher value tariffs being chosen and also higher end TV packages being chosen primarily, and that will actually drive an ARPU uplift over time.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers that we have shown were excluding TV ARPU at this time. We will probably provide them including TV the next time. And as we are going through a growth in that customer base, I think it will be more reasonable to have that discussion than probably in one of the next quarters.
Okay. And then on tax and working capital?
Yeah, on tax and working capital, firstly on tax, we are expecting to see some further upsides, pretty much because on the statutory accounts, we will have depreciations on license and we will have also the depreciations for the swap out of equipment. And that should actually drive the tax payments even further down for 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And on the working capital side, you are right. We had quite some working capital outflow in the first quarter 2012, which was driven by a CapEx peak at the end of 11. Now, what I can say is that on the back of our new partnering arrangement that we have with Huawei, we have also received favorable payment terms, which will allow us, with increasing investments with that partner, to actually keep our working capital stable, and we are even expecting some sort of improvement on the working capital side. So we are not expecting a decline like you have seen in last year, but due to that payment term change, we are expecting to have more a smoother working capital development, which should actually form a slight upside as well. So we are expecting on both ends, tax and working capital, I would rather expect upsides for 2013.
Perfect. And sorry, can I just quickly throw in one last data question? Restructuring costs, I think you had 17 million this year. What's the expectation for 2013?
So in 2013, we do not expect any further restructuring cost. The correct figure, by the way, was 15.6 million in restructuring cost.
Okay.
But there will be no further restructuring costs, as we have provisioned the entire restructuring exercise in the fourth quarter.
Okay, but cash out wise?
Cash out wise, there will be a small outflow happening as well, but it will be in the range of 5 to 10 million.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
Your next question on the line comes from Nelia Velikamatova. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, hello. Thank you for taking my questions. I have three questions. I just wondered on churn, where do your subscribers go to on the mobile side? Has the dynamic changed relative to Q3? So, you know, given Swisscom's performance in Q4, I just wondered if you've seen a shift in subscriber movement to Swisscom versus Orange. Second question was, what was your mobile market share in Q4? And the third question was, what was the cost of a TV of your IPTV box, please? Thank you.
Okay. So on churn, firstly, overall, we have not seen a big change in our churn dynamics. What we do see from, where customers come from and move to, that we do know for all of the customers that do a number porting of their mobile numbers. In this regard, what we have seen indeed is that we were still net gainers in that matrix, but we have seen that from where we were losing to, Swisscom has taken a bigger share than before, and Orange actually a smaller share. So we have seen that before, at least the price change that Orange did in the fourth quarter, that actually was the case. So I can support your argument on that end side. Mobile market shares, can't tell you right now, simply because we haven't seen the Orange numbers. So therefore, we can't really calculate the full market and give you those figures. We probably will come back with those with the first quarter results. And on the IPTV box, I also would not like to actually disclose those figures, as they are also quite competitive information, I would say.
Okay, thanks very much.
Your next question on the line is from Ali Haji. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a couple of quick questions. Number one, just on pricing, can you just, and I think you probably alluded to this already, can you just confirm that following on from last year's price cut by Swisscom, the competitive dynamic has continued to be rational post that, so i.e. you haven't seen any further price decreases in the beginning of this year? And then just secondly, my question on potential sort of exit for your sponsor in terms of just given the run-up in equities, the fact that Swisscom trades at over a 7x forward multiple, would you guys consider an IPO in the near term?
Okay. So firstly, as I said in the presentation, we have not really seen anything near to a price war. As I said, we have seen that one-off price move from Swisscom where they actually I would say have done a step which was overdue to a certain degree. They have actually introduced flat rates to a large extent that they hadn't had before, and at the same time reduced their prices to actually get more competitive again. We have reacted to that once. Orange actually was late responding to it in the fourth quarter, but also have not taken an additional step, but actually have pretty much put themselves on the same position. And since then, we have seen a rather stable development. So I would say it feels from what we have seen so far like a one-off exercise that has happened, and it feels like that we have now created a new stable pricing level. And I would expect that unless anybody does a bigger move on this, that actually I would expect to stay stable. On your exit question, I understand a very interesting one, but obviously as I'm not the sponsor, I can't really talk about any of this. And also I think at this point in time it would be pure speculation. So sorry for not answering that one.
Fair enough.
The next question comes from Anthony Langlois. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Actually, it's Jean-Yves Guibert from BNP Paribas. I've got three questions, if I may. The first two, coming back to Simon's previous question. I understand that the revenue you regenerate from your customers under bundled packages, including your TV products, may differ between each customer depending on the package they subscribe. But could you, however, provide us with a pro forma ARPU, i.e. excluding the discounts you're currently offering, that you generate out of your existing 38,000 customer base? My second question is coming back again on the working capital for next year. So CapEx next year is going to increase by roughly, on a mid-range basis, by 50 million Swiss francs. I understand that you will actually benefit from better terms with your new vendor contract. Beyond 2013, if we assume that this 2013 CapEx is some sort of one-off and that you might come back to a lower level in 2014, should we then expect some material cash outflow in early 2014 on the back of these favorable terms you're going to experience in 2013? And my last question is on your distribution of cash to partially repay the peak facility at the mobile challenger level. Could you tell us in which proportion have you used your current build-up baskets on your restricted payment covenants? Is that, have you used it entirely, or if not, what's the remaining amount available? Thank you very much.
Okay, Uwe, I'm coming, starting with the last question on the redemption of PECs and repayment for the PECs. I mean, the documents allow us a restricted payment basket, which is based on the build-up of the net income basket. And as it seems that we have paid in tranches, we basically have used the available net income basket for repayments in those several tranches.
Okay. Thank you.
Touch the other two questions that you had. So on the TV ARPU, actually, like I said, right, so we haven't disclosed the number, and I don't want to disclose the number at this point in time.
Okay.
We will come back at a later stage
and
some more flavor on it. I mean, we are clearly ramping up the business. There are many moving parts in this equation, and we don't want to give any sort of indication that drives some expectations which we then can't hold up on. So therefore, we do believe it needs to stabilize furthermore to actually give some flavor on it. And then on the working capital side, I mean, if you look at the guidance that Libor was giving, the last point of it, I think, is alluding to your question, which is we are actually expecting to have a cash flow that should be in the range of our historical levels that we have been seeing. So I think what you can expect pretty much is that the additional CapEx that we are going to spend for 2013 will be softened to a very large degree by the positive effects we have on working capital and on tax. Of course, while reducing then the CapEx spend thereafter, the working capital will probably have a slightly negative impact for 2014, but then also, as we expect, of course, EBITDA to develop positively, I would further expect that then also thereafter the cash flow after taxes and working capital impacts should be pretty stable over time. So that's why we think, from a guidance perspective, we should be remaining in line with what we have been seeing previously.
Thank you very much. And if I may, a quick one follow-up on your first answer. Would you consider raising cash pay debt at the mobile challenger group level and being guaranteed on a senior basis by Sunrise Communication, in order to first repay the remaining amount of the peak facility and then possibly to upstream more cash, to upstream any excess cash to the shareholders. Since it's something which is actually a flexibility that exists under your covenants. Thank you.
I mean, you're right that flexibility exists, but any questions to the capital structures, I think we need to discuss that with the sponsors, and you should ask the questions to the sponsors of the company.
So the repayment of the PIK facility has been dictated by the sponsors or by Sunrise Management?
Now, Sunrise Management fully agreed with the repayment of the PIK, and to finalize the question, I think in the subsequent event note, we have written that the final portion of the PIK has been repaid, so the PIK is repaid currently.
Okay, so
it's repaid.
Okay, so the PIK has been fully repaid, so and the remaining repayment of the PIK, just to then to fully understand, you mean that you have used entirely the build-up basket under your restricted payment basket, so as to fully repay the PIK. It was not to for the repayment that has been done in Q4.
I mean, I think if you read our report, there are basically two in there. In the report itself, we have repaid in Q4 two tranches of the PIK, and in the subsequent event, we mentioned that we have repaid in February the last portion of the PIK.
Okay, and all these repayments, so also the one beyond Q4 2012, has been funded through your RP basket?
Correct.
Thank you.
Your next question on the line comes from Jamie Kane, sir. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Just a quick question for me. I was wondering if we could have an update on the general sort of market position with regards to MTR cuts and any sort of changes in roaming charges.
So on MTR cuts, as you know, the regulatory regime in Switzerland is an ex-post one, which means that operators among themselves agree to prices, and only thereafter the regulator can interfere if complaints are arising. At the time being, we are foreseeing a smaller, close to marginal reduction happening in 2013, and probably similar cuts to happen also thereafter, but without any material impact on our top line and bottom line. And on regards to roaming, I mean, of course, in roaming, it's also a question of the overall traffic development and also the prices we are able to negotiate on a bilateral basis with our roaming partners, and also then an equation of what is happening in the marketplace. At the moment, we do see that this is rather stabilizing, probably some price reductions happening, but we also see opportunity for cost reductions as well. So we are also not foreseeing significant changes on that end.
Thank you.
The next question on the line comes from Usman Ghazi. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the question. I've got three questions, please. My first question was just on subsidies in Switzerland. I know in the past few quarters there have been some comments made that by both Swisscom and by Sunrise that you would try to reduce subsidies in the market. I was just wondering what if you're seeing any of that now or whether subsidies continue to be at a high level. My second question is on CapEx levels. I just wanted to understand why you're confident that the next year will be the the 2013 will be the peak year in CapEx when Swisscom is clearly committed to maintaining CapEx at very high levels until 2015. Albeit some of that isn't fixed, but still, I mean, they're investing quite heavily in the network, right out to 2015. So just wondering why you expect CapEx to come back to normalized levels in a year's time. And then my final question is just on Swisscom, Sunrise's competitive positioning. I mean, it seems to me that, Sunrise was associated with flat rates in Switzerland. That USP has obviously been taken by Swisscom, who've added the speed dimension as well. We know the value proposition is not you know, it might be a priority for Swiss consumers, but is not top of the agenda. So just wondering how you differentiate yourselves in this market going forward. Thank you.
Okay. Well, starting off with subsidy levels. So far, we have not really seen bigger reductions of subsidy, which I would also attribute to the fact that actually Orange was late reducing their price points. So therefore, they needed to compete on subsidies in the meantime, which they did. And that effectively, I would say, has hindered the market to actually come to more reasonable and lower levels. But I think as they have reacted right now, we would also expect that subsidies will start to see a decline in the upcoming months. On your question, why we do think that CapEx actually should slow down again, well, mainly the key impact is really we are going through our entire mobile network and swapping equipment by mid of the year. Once we have swapped the equipment, we have multi-standard radio equipment on our sites, and in parallel, we are also connecting our sites with the right backhaul technology in order to cope with the increasing traffic, which will be a mixture of fiber increasingly, and I think those are the two key drivers which will be causing a sort of one-off exercise, and thereafter we will actually on the radio side will only exchange the access technology on the sites, which will be a much smaller investment compared to those investments. And in comparison to Swisscom, you mentioned already, I mean, we are not investing to the same extent in fiber because we are actually utilizing the utilities where they are rolling out and getting into wholesale agreements. So on that end, we don't need to invest as heavily as Swisscom is doing on the fixed line side. And those two components actually make us believe that we do see a peak in 2013 of investments and then reasonable investment levels thereafter. But clearly also the guidance that we have given with 11% on revenues is higher than the average CapEx per revenue ratio that you have seen in the past 2 years from us. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, on the flat rate question, actually, flat rates luckily formed a position to differentiate because others were following late. But of course, it was clear that this would not be a sustainable differentiator over time. As we always said, our clear positioning is we want to be the best value for money, and the best value for money needs to be upheld. So it will be a combination of product features, service elements, network, hardware, and so on. So there's multiple components, and we are reviewing our offerings again and again to stay competitive on that end. So I think that is what we will continue, but there will be no, let's say, golden bullets or silver bullets in the midterm.
Great. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question comes from Mitch Resink. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just a follow-up question to, I think it was the first question, on the return on invested capital. You said that of course, you expect to see yourself with a return to growth. I wonder if you could provide a little color. Is that sort of on the wireless side? Is that you expect ARPUs to revert to growth, or is that in volumes in taking share?
So clearly, I mean, what we are seeing right now is that the dynamic has slightly changed. So dynamic previously was customers we were adding were actually of better ARPU than within the customer base. So every incremental growth was actually not only a customer-driven growth, but also an ARPU up. Now, as prices have been reduced, that situation has changed. And therefore, right, the dynamic is we are adding customers, but the incremental growth per added customer is actually less, but nevertheless, it's adding. And in parallel, we have seen the migration kicking in, and the migration was actually offsetting the impact from the growth of customers. Over time, the migration impact will soften out, and therefore, customer volume growth will actually drive more top-line growth again. And secondly, as I said also during the presentation, we also do strongly believe that because data products are enjoying a significant increase in demand, over time we are also expecting to see differentiation potentials on a pricing side to then also monetize on increasing data usage. And that then, of course, over time opens up also the opportunity to see increasing ARPUs again. But that's the picture that we have.
Okay, I think that's pretty clear. So it's so you'll see some decline through the year, stabilization, and then once you have the LTE network up running, you expect maybe higher ARPUs to seed the base or just the data usage, maybe overage or whatever, to begin to lift ARPUs. Is that sort of how you envision it?
Yep, correctly.
Thank you.
All right, we are closely coming to the end. If there are any further questions, we would like to take the last question, please.
We have no further questions, sir. Please continue.
All right, then. Thank you very much, and looking forward to talking to you on our next results presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.